Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a believing ministry that's teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. We are excited to be here this morning. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's get this worship music up. My help coming from the Lord.
From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. The Lord which made heaven and earth. Suffer thy book, thy foot to be known. The Lord sees and hears thee. He will not slumber nor sleep. Oh, the Lord is thy shade. Oh, the Lord is thy weapon. Oh, the Lord is thy Thank you.
There's no other time
Hallelujah. My hallelujah belongs to you, Lord. It belongs to you. All of my praise belongs to you. We prayed a little bit long again today. We just thank the Lord. We just praise the Lord that at least we have a mouth that we could praise him, that we have breath in our lungs and our heart is still beating and our ears are open and we have all of the activities of our limbs. We are praising him. We are grateful. You know, there's a lot of people that were here on yesterday in some part of the world, but they are no longer here today. But glory be to God, we are still here. And that is enough to praise him. Hallelujah, glory to God. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for another day in the land of the living. And this is the day that the Lord has made, so we are rejoicing and we are glad. Thank you for pouring out favor on us today. Favor to live, O God. Favor to breathe, O God. To talk, to walk, to touch, to feel, to sense, O God. You have done it all, God. No one else could do for us, Lord Jesus. And we praise you this morning. We ask you to bless the airways, bless the north, the south, the east, and the west. And Lord, we ask that you allow the word to go forth with power and with authority. Only you, O God, will get the glory. Only you will get the honor. And only you will get the praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Today we are talking about spiritual deception is in the atmosphere. Spiritual deception is in the atmosphere. You say, well, what are you talking about, Apostle? Well, if you go to some of the places that are what they call mega churches, mega church, if you go to the mega crusades and the healing services, you will see that it's spiritual deception. Why? Because all that they're saying, nothing is happening. And they're not glorifying Jesus as Lord and Savior. They are, it's about a business. And I heard Apostle Bishop said one time, his ministry was a business. Right here in Boston, he said, it's a business. We are here about making money. We are about making money. Not all the churches are like that, though. But you have some of them that it's a business to them. And they kind of try to calculate how much money they can make by the end of the month. And they say, well, when the end of the month comes and they do their calculation, they go on their calculators or the computers, however they add up their stuff. Because, you know, you have a computer, a cell phone has a calculator app, so it makes it easy for you on the computer and all this stuff. And when they calculate the money that come in, if it don't look like what they expect, they do something that's different. You understand what I'm saying? They'll do something that's different. So, well, we gotta put on a big sale. We got to put on a concert, all this stuff, because they got to gross a certain amount of money. That is their focus. They now say, well, how many souls did we win for the Lord this month? How many people did we lead to Jesus this month to be saved? They don't say that because that's not their objective. Their objective is not about souls. So we are excited this morning. The Lord gave us this message yesterday evening, and we ran it over. It's a message that most of you all on the line are familiar with. We are coming out of Matthew chapter 24, New Living Translation. And Jesus began to speak of, he was releasing a prophetic word. He was speaking about the future, things that would happen in the future. So you could say it's a prophetic word. If I'm talking here today, and I begin to talk about things that should happen in December or January next year, it's a prophetic word because I'm prophesying or speaking of stuff that's not yet happened. And this is what Jesus was doing. So he says, As Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. But he responded, "Do you see all these buildings? Question. I tell you the truth. They will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." Jesus said, "Look, can you imagine the disciples hearing him saying this and looking at his countenance? Jesus is very serious. When Jesus was speaking, he wasn't laughing. You know, son, he wasn't playing around. He said, look at the buildings." The disciples was excited as they see all of these fantastic-looking, majestic-looking temples, you know. All of this is made by man's hand. So they were excited about that. So they begin to see, point to Jesus like Jesus don't see, like he don't know. He said, you see all of these temples, they begin to speak to Jesus. We are talking about spiritual deception. Spiritual deception is in the ear. These disciples begin to look at these buildings and they was amazed. So they begin to show these buildings, point them out to Jesus. Say, look, you see all of these temples? All of these temple buildings? It's like, so you see all the buildings that the people can go and worship? You know, you could say that way. But they say to Jesus, in the New Living Translation, he says, Rabbi, do you see all of these temple buildings? And Jesus responded to them in a very negative connotation. Listen to what he says. He said, I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Can you imagine that? He talking about the Jewish temples. So you can imagine how the atmosphere has changed when he said that. Now the atmosphere became silent. Somebody just come on, they got their phone blocked out. They were silent because this is their temple that Jesus is talking about. He said, not one stone is going to be left on top of another. Do you hear me? Jesus prophesying about the future. Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. His disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? Now they come. They want to know more. They want to know more. They're inquisitive. Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you. This is the response he gave to them. Don't let anyone mislead you. Jesus know that they're going to be prophets and prophetess and apostles and bishops and all of these people that are going to come and preach the gospel. And he knows that many going to water down the gospel. He knows that many people are going to misuse the very essence of the gospel. He knows this. He's Jesus. He's God. Nothing is hidden from him. He knows all. This is why he tells him, don't let anyone mislead you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got to be on point with everything that God has said to us. We got to follow the letter by the Spirit. We got to do that. He says, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. I saw this on Facebook last night as I read this. And so many people on YouTube, so many men and women had come and they're saying that they are Jesus, they're the Messiah. These are Caucasian people. You know, they got, you know, how to figure to make that, how Jesus looked like in the movie and all this stuff. And they got the long beard and all this, the blue eyes and all this stuff. And they have the robes on and lot of them, in order, the majority of them died sudden deaths. And the narrator said, this is what happened when you mock God. This is what happened when you mock God. Jesus said that many going to come claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. Many will follow them. You got a guy in Florida. He called himself Jesus. He called himself Jesus, proclaiming to be the Messiah. And remember one year he told the people that it was going to be the end. People sold their cars, sold their homes, sold everything and gave it to the man. It wasn't the end. We're still here. People still here. People here to this man in Florida, they're giving him all type of money. They say they go to the church and they go as regular as the house door open, they be in the house. They say what if we work, what if we make? We give to the house because we don't have the need for it. We don't know the day. He said him that is coming. He's here short on top of us. And Jesus says, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars or rumors of wars. Don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. They haven't tidal waves, tsunamis all over the world. I was watching them the other night. In Taiwan and Asia, and all these big waves are coming and sweeping over the land, moving cars, turning over cars, and they said this just happened. The news not telling you, and cars and trucks and everything, in the mountainside, all the dirt is coming down into the highways and blocking the highways. All these things are happening. Jesus said these things will happen when you least expect. These things will happen. But the end is not yet. I'm talking this morning about spiritual deception is in the atmosphere. Spiritual deception is in the atmosphere. So what must we do? I mean, you got to do something. You just can't sit around and say, well, there's spiritual deception in the air. No, you got to do something. What do you have to do is that you have to study the Word of God and see what the Word of God is saying pertaining to all these things that are happening. Because it's in the Word. I'm studying it right now. It's in the Word. And we got to know when we see these things, we say, yes, Lord, thanks, because you said these things will happen, and they are happening right now. So what we got to do? We got to stay connected to the vine, like I told you last week, a week before. Stay connected to the vine, because we're the branches. We got to stay to where we get our source from, where we get our energy from, where we get our life from. Where life comes from Jesus. This is where we got to draw from, not what the people are saying. They're going to say everything they want to say. Because they're trying to impress the world. They're trying to impress the world. Jesus don't need to be impressed, so they're trying to impress the world. We got to stay connected to this word. This is what he says. Jesus speaks so clearly. He says, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine, earthquakes. This is Piero. He said there will be famine and earthquakes in many parts of the world. As I told you yesterday, we got people. This morning I had another call. People calling because they're hungry. They're eating leaves. They don't even have the oil to put in the pot to cook the leaves, man. I'm telling you. And we're sitting here in America. We have more than enough, and we're not even appreciative. We're not even appreciative of what we have. We complain. I don't have this. I don't. And look, I just went in the kitchen. And I said, man, I feel like having some pancakes. I just said that in my mind. So I said, look, we have a box of pancake mix up in the cupboard or the cabinet. But in the fridge, we got some already made pancakes. I said, well, you know, I got to go on Blog Talk. We can't fool around mixing up eggs and all this stuff and powder and all this stuff. I could take out some pancakes and put in the microwave or in the fry machine, you know, the air fryer, and to heat them up and put some syrup on them and eat them. They don't have that stuff to do. Most of them that you see in India and in these places, African office, none of them, though, thousands, millions of them. And especially where the people are buying up the land and poisoning the land so the food will die and killing all the cows and,
and all the sheep and goats and all this stuff, many going to die for starvation, because even if they had the money to buy the food, there's no food. There ain't going to be no food. Jesus said so. Jesus said, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom. He said, there will be famines, plural, and earthquakes in many parts of the world. That means different places. Not just in America, not just in the Caribbean, not just in Africa, not just in India, but many parts of the world. People are going to die for starvation. The trees ain't going to have no leaves. They're eating the leaves off the trees right now. The trees ain't going to have no more leaves for them to cook and eat. I'm telling you, man. One man was cutting a tree, a big tree I saw on YouTube, and he had a bucket. Some kind of sap was coming out the tree like syrup. He was cutting this big hole in the tree, and it was gushing like water. He was getting all these buckets. Yes, that's the Lord. God is so awesome. People know which tree to cut that have something that would sustain their life. But when the trees are gone, what are you going to do? Jesus told you. He says, but all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. See, the beginning of you seeing these mountains and all this stuff and quaking and the tsunamis, oh, that's the beginning of sorrows and pain that going to come to the earth because of the wickedness, the deception that's in the earth. People are being led away. People are being led away from the true gospel, and they're following what we call the fake gospel, the compromised gospel. Can somebody tell you, well, you go look at your mailbox, and you're going to find a check in your mailbox. And now you get mad with God because the prophet told you that you're going to find this big, extraordinary check inside your mailbox, but there's no check for months, there's no check for year past, no check. Because it's a false prophet. I watched a man last night, you know the name. I was surfing through my computer looking for news. I like to know what's going on in all these countries. You know, you got to know what's going on. Don't sit down and have your head in a hole like an ostrich. You got to watch and listen to what's going on. Well, you know the preacher. The people are pouring the money. I mean, just running up. He preaching all this prosperity mess. You know the preacher. You're going to know. When I tell you what happened, you're going to know exactly who he is. And he preaching this prosperity message. Just cutting up. But this, you're going to have the money. God wants to bless you. Oh, yeah. And the people jumping up and running to the altar. But the altar is covered with money. Covered. They're like five or six steps on the altar. And everyone full of money. And he starts on one side. He run up in the middle. And he walk over. He said, money cometh to me. Not to you. Money cometh to me. Money cometh to him. He got two Rolls Royces. Brand new. Because he sold them. Traded them. And he got brand new Rolls Royces. Rolls Royce is not cheap, especially if you got a Phantom. A Phantom is very expensive. So the people are throwing the money on the altar because they believe in this gimmick that he using. He's not telling them how to live holy, how to live a righteous life. Because without holiness, no man will see God. They think tell them, you're going to have all this. You're going to get all this stuff. Jesus said all these things must happen. People are going to deceive you. Because they know you want the riches. That's what you want. All the people want their stuff. They focus on that stuff, but they're not even concerned about their soul that is going to be called upon. This night, their soul may be required. That while they're sleeping, they just cross over to another dimension. They're not prepared for that. When we lay down at night, even though we love the Lord and the Lord loves us, there's no surety that we're going to wake up the next morning. That's why we got to live every day like it's the last day. Live for Christ and die for him. Now, Jesus continued to speak. This is in Matthew 24. Jesus is speaking. The Bible is in red. He says, verse 9, he said, then will you be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. When you teach and preach and live, hear what I say. When you teach and preach and live the word of God, you then become a true follower of Jesus Christ. You can't be a follower of Jesus Christ if you're only preaching and teaching. Hallelujah. You're just like a deceiver. You preach and teach, but you don't live. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got the pancakes together. I had to put them in the machine. This morning, my microwave died. But I got one of those air fry machines. I put them in the air fry. I didn't want to turn on the oven. And I put it to a setting for bake. And they got hard enough for me to eat. You understand? It's the same way with the gospel. You can't just preach the gospel and teach the gospel. You got to live the gospel. You got to be the living gospel. Because you may be the only person that somebody see and hear that represent Jesus. You may be the only Jesus that they see. You got to go. You may be the only Jesus that they see. So you got to live this thing. So when people say, man, that woman, man, she surely declare who Jesus is. He, man, look at him, man. He got love in his heart for the fellow man. He's compassionate. Hallelujah, glory to God. So they want to know this Jesus. They want to know this Jesus that you're preaching about. They want to know this Jesus that you're teaching about. They want this Jesus. They want to know this Jesus that you are willing to let go of the whole world, to give up on the whole world and just follow him. Because this is what you're doing. You're not interested in going to the club. You're not interested in going to the cabaret. You're not interested in going to Mardi Gras or the cannibals anymore. Your mindset now is to serve God. So people are going to say, well, it's got to be something about this. There's got to be something special about this Jesus that she has given her all this. I remember when she used to drop it like it's hot. When she, well, you know, they always go back to your past. And I remember when he was up in the crack house, the whole house and all. But now, man, she's walking for God. He's walking for God. You see, they see the light. They see the light shining that Jesus talk about in your life. So now they want to get closer to this light. That's who you do. This is what you do. Now you invite them to the light. You invite them to the light. You just a representative of the light. So now you invite them to the light. This is what Jesus wants to do. Listen to what he said. Man, I was studying this. I've read this so many times before. But as I was studying this last night, Jesus just blessed me with it. And all he was telling me in this message is be observant. This is what he says. He says preparation. The end times. Dangerous times. He said pestilence, earthquakes, and famines. He said these things is happening. He said you might not see them and you might not hear them because a lot of times the big media don't announce these things. They don't tell you that all these things are happening. You got to search the news, the BBC news and all the different news to find out the things that are really happening. And then you have some local our reporters that they go, they got two Christian guys, they go all over the world searching for news. And then they publish the news on the internet. So you know all the different stuff that's happening. A lot of times you sit down here, you don't know that thousands of people just died because a tsunami went over the country and wipe out the buildings and all this. You don't know. And when you see that on YouTube, man, I not hear that on NBC or NBC or MSNBC. I never seen it on it. But the things happened. They said that just happened an hour ago. Hear what Jesus says, Lord Jesus. I'm telling you that there's a spiritual deception in the atmosphere. Spiritual deception in the atmosphere. One preacher said the other night, he said, if you go to a church and they're not preaching about Jesus, and if they're not preaching about sin, you need to brush off your feet and get out of that church as fast as you can. Hallelujah. Jesus says, and many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Listen to this. You have some of these preachers in Sweet Town. They got sugar on their tongue. They know how to take the word. And they know how to parallelize the scripture to make it sound good. And then they add their 2 cents to God's word. God's word don't need all that stuff. It has everything that it needs. And they try to release that stuff to entice you to give. You got to give. You should give. But don't be deceived to give. I want you to preach the word. When you preach the word, and I hear the word, the true word, That's enough. If I have it in my pocket, I say, Lord, yes, I want to support this ministry. I want to support that ministry because they're teaching and preaching the strong word. And the word is helping me. When I hear the word energizes me. The word feeds my spiritual heart to want to live holy. But when I hear that compromise word, I got to go. Listen to what Jesus says. He says many, many will be deceived. Sin will be rampant everywhere. Listen, we're seeing it right now. Sin will be rampant everywhere. And the love of many will grow cold. The love of many. People don't have people. A lady was saying on the news the other night. She's somewhere in New York. And she was walking down this avenue, this street. And somebody come up behind her and hit her in the head. Knock her down. And keep on. Well, luckily it didn't kill her. Another lady said she was going to go somewhere in 46 or 49th Street, somewhere like that. And she said that this fella come up to her and bang her in the face, broke her nose. She had to be taken to the hospital. Well, she's still alive. But just telling you that the evil is everywhere. He told us this. That's what Jesus told us. So we ought not be surprised. He says, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. If people don't have love, would they have hatred? Filled with animosity, filled with malice. He says, but the ones who endure to the end will be saved. You got to stay connected. Hallelujah. You got to stay in the word of God. You got to continue to live for Christ regardless of what's going on. Your neighborhood is on fire. You still got to live. Your neighborhood has got to eat leaves. You still got to live for Christ. Don't care what's going on. You have to live for Christ. This is your calling. Your calling is not for you to go there and get rich. God said, I'm going to supply all your needs, not your wants. So I said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for supplying my needs. You know, in my mind, I said, Lord, I'm saying to myself, Lord, I want this and I want that. I said, but God, I thank you because all my needs is met. So I'm not concerned with the wants. See, the wants will take you out of the focus of what Jesus is doing, already done, and what he's doing for you. Because we said, look, I got a BMW or I got a Volkswagen, but I want a BMW. The Volkswagen can get you from point A to point B or point A to point Z and Z to A. But you're not saying that this little car can take you, this buggy can take you from wherever you want to go. You're concerned because your neighbors had a BMW, and that's what you want. So you forgot. You don't see the blessing that God has put upon your life. You don't have no debt. Volkswagen is paid off. But you want a BMW, so you'll be in debt. You can't pay no tithes. You can't give no offering. Because you want me like the neighbors. You're not grateful for what you have. Listen to what Jesus says. I'm telling you the truth. He said, but the one who endures, that means if you last to the end, will be saved. Hallelujah. Because see, your salvation, your real redemption is when Jesus come. When Jesus come in the clouds with the angels and the sound of the trumpet to redeem his church, to redeem his bride. See, the bride has to prepare herself. This is where you got to endure to the end. See, I'm staying prepared. We're staying prepared. We're not perfect, but we're being perfected every day because we are staying in his presence. The Bible says in his presence is the fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So if we stay in his presence, guess what? We're going to experience that joy. We're going to experience that joy. Hell is going on all around us, but we are in his presence. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. We are able to stand. We are able to endure all that's going on. Hallelujah. He said, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. See this word, Apostle Stuart talked about this yesterday, about all the stuff that the equipment that we have now in the world. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have all these different technologies. And within the last 55 years, I could say, within the last 55 years, 55 to 60 years, technology has advanced so great. last night they were seeing how Russia had sent a dog, put a dog in space. The dog never returned. But to put the dog in space and leave the dog in space to see if the dog can live in space without all the necessities of the earth. Well, who knows? Nobody went back to check on the dog. But they leave the dog over there. And they made a statue of the dog. The statue is in the square, in the square in Russia. I saw it last night. I said, wow. Technology has advanced so this gospel can get everywhere. Pastor said it yesterday. They got a little radio. They got a radio. I don't know if you all seen it before. It's a wind-up radio. It don't have no power. Don't have no batteries. It's got a magnetic spring inside of it. You got to wind it up and you're going to get tight. And you release the thing. The handle will go back. You go clockwise to wind, and then you come to clockwise, it reverse as it's playing. And these radios were distributed all over Africa in the jungles. People got these radios; they can hear, they can pick up stations, and hear the gospel in their own language. You understand? So the word is going out because the technology has changed. Even where they don't have electricity, they still can hear over radio. Don't have no batteries, but they got a wind up radio. We got to hear the truth. That's why we got to preach the truth. Don't ward it down to please the masses. Jesus says, the day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about, the sacrilege object that causes the discretion, that causes, excuse me, let me read that again. Jesus said, the day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about, the sacrilege objective that causes desecration, standing in the holy place. He said, pay attention. He says, reader, pay attention. Why? Don't, as I said earlier, don't be like an ostrich with your head in the sand. Have your head up and out so you can see and hear what God is saying. Hallelujah. He is speaking to us because he wants us, his children, to have an understanding of the truth. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 13, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, Daniel chapter 11, verse 31, Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. It's all there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's given us the instructions. It's in the book. He tells you in Matthew, now you can go to Daniel and you can see what he's talking about. All these things are going to happen. Don't let nobody deceive you. So well, you got one life to live. Live your life. Well, they don't tell you about the second resurrection. They don't tell you nothing about that, the second death. Hallelujah. So you go up and say, well, I can do whatever I feel like doing, whatever I can do, because when I'm dead, I'm dead. I've got news for you. You look out in Revelation chapter 20. You'll see it over there. Listen what he says. Glory to God. Then those in Judah will flee to the hills. A person out on the deck of a roof must not go down into the house to pass. See, in a matter of fact, when these things start to happen, there's not going to be any time. Not any time to pack. What you have on your back going to have to suffice you. Hallelujah. There's not going to be any time. This is where we got to stay ready. Stay ready. All the suits and dresses and shoes and stuff that we have in the closet, we're going to have to leave behind. Make sure your heart is ready, prepared to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. A person out in the field must not return even to get a coat. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and for nursing mothers in those days. It's going to be a serious time. Tribulation like you've never seen before. Famines and earthquakes and tornadoes and volcanoes, all these things going to erupt. We are getting little signs of these things. We're getting little tornado here, little tornado. But they're going to be everywhere, everywhere. This week says, everywhere. There's not going to be any place to hide. People are going to run and try to hide. They're going to flee to the mountainside because they figure if they get high, the higher they get, they'll be able to be saved. But not so. Can only be saved in Christ Jesus and by Christ Jesus. He says, terrible, how terrible it will be for pregnant women and for nursing mothers in those days. And pray that your flight will not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Pray that it not be in the Sabbath. Where they're going to be? In the synagogue. In the winter, the snow going to slow you down. It's going to slow you down. You can't move as fast in the snow as you move on a dry day. For there will be greater anguish time since the world began. And it will never be so great again. See, when these things start to happen, it's going to be a lot of pain and sorrow. And you will never experience the greatness that you have experienced before these times. This is why we got to prepare now. Jesus goes to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. And we have to prepare ourselves, our hearts, so that we may be there. Hallelujah. We're not going to just get up and say, well, I'm going there, living a life of Riley. No, we got to live a life that pleases God in order to be there with ease. He said, in fact, unless that time of calamity is shortened, not a single person will survive. But it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen, for the sake of God's chosen vessels. Then if anyone tells you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones, God's elect. Saw a prophet in Africa yesterday night. And he was dressed very clad. He wasn't wearing any socks. And I watched him, checked him out from his head all the way down to his feet. Well, I'll tell you that there's so much stuff going on in some of these places that it make you kind of think. You're not a judge. We're not judging. But you see these things, and it make you, as a student of the Bible, it makes you say, well, this can't be of God. The prophet goes off, he's on the altar, and he takes up his right foot and kicks this guy in the chest like he is a karate person. You know, a karate kick. And the guy and all the people behind the guy fell down. Then he goes and slaps another guy inside his belly. He falls out on the floor. See, people say, man, the prophet is really operating. He really operating in anointing. You see, this stuff Jesus talk about is that these people are doing is not real. It's the Kundalini spirit. It's the marine spirit that they're using in God's house. In the house that's supposed to be God's house. They made it a den of thieves. They have compromised the gospel. This is why I'm telling you. There's spiritual deception in the atmosphere. And we need to ask God, God, open my eyes that I see the truth. Open my ears that I hear the truth. Hallelujah. You don't need to see thousands upon thousands and thousands of people to see God's hand. He said, wherever two or three has got it in his name, he's in the midst. Don't need a whole lot of people. Just need the right people that are serving God, that are living for God, that their hearts are sold out to God, to the kingdom. This is what Jesus says. He said, false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones or God's elect. See, I have warned you about this ahead of time. Jesus is warning us. So when we see these folk performing this and doing this stuff, we got to ask ourselves, is it of God? That's why you start to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, right, dividing the word of truth. You study the word of God. So when you see things operating in the house, you know if it's of God. You're not being deceived. You're not being fooled. He said it would deceive if it was possible to deceive even the God's elect, but it's not possible. Why? Because we know the truth. We got the word inside of us. It shows us, the words are like a mirror. It shows us the truth. We can't be deceived. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, then if anyone tells you, look, listen, let's go down. Let's jump down to verse 26. He says, so if someone tells you, look, the Messiah is out in the desert, don't bother to go and look. Or look, he is hiding here, don't believe it. For as the lightning flashes in the east and shines in the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. We got to understand. There's certain signs that God has already laid out in the book that we will know the Son of God is here. He is in the clouds. He gives us everything. All types of figures are showing up in the sky over in the Far East or Near East, whatever you want to call it, up and in, and where the wars are going on. People are seeing all types of signs in the sky. We don't know if they're computer generated or not, but this is what they're saying. They're putting these things on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and stuff. They're seeing a picture, a symbol of Christ, resembling Christ in the clouds. Well, you know, you can believe or don't believe, but this is what they're saying is happening. Because all the sin is in the earth. All of this deception that's in the earth, there's still a lot of truth. And you have some men and women of God that will not bend and will not break. They may bend, but they're not going to break because they're flexible. They're holding on to the truth of God's word. This is what God wants us to do. This is what he wants you and I to do, to hold on to the truth. Don't matter what's going on. We're going to hear all types of stuff, but we know the truth. The truth cannot be hidden. You hear what it says? The truth cannot be hidden. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, just as the gathering of best virtues shows there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near. Immediately after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will give no light. The stars will fall from the sky. Do you hear what God's saying? If you don't see the stars falling from the sky, if the moon don't give light, if the sun don't get completely darkened out, you know for a fact it's not the end. Because he told us in the book that all of these things must happen before the end. He said the stars will fall from the sky and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. The noise will be so loud. Listen to me. The noise in the heavens, not heaven, 1, 2, 3. And the noise in the heavens will be so loud. You will try to plug your ears, but you're still going to hear it. Because he is leaving heaven, coming to earth. And all his heavenly hosts. Hallelujah. And then at last, the sign that the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens. And there will be deep mourning among all people of the earth. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I want to tell you something. This is what I'm living to see. To see the Master, the Savior, the Sovereign Lord in all his great glory, all his power, all his splendor. Hallelujah. To see the heavenly host traveling in unison with the Savior. This is what we as believers should hope for. Things that we are having now, that's why we share with the people. We share with our brothers and sisters. It's for us to help others with. Help ourselves, our families, and help others. We don't put our hope and glory in the stuff of this world because we got to leave it. We brought nothing into this world, and we will not carry anything out of this world. Even the suit or dress or wig or stuff that we have on when they put us in that box, the maggots will eat it all. We can't take nothing from this world because we haven't brought anything in this world. Spiritual deception is in the atmosphere. And when you hear some things and see some things, excuse me, when you hear some things and see some things on the television, you hear them on the radio, don't be alarmed. Jesus told us that all these things must happen. This is a deception that's going to take place in the last days. He says, and he will send the mighty blast of a trumpet. They will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest end of the earth and heaven. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When the branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth. This generation will not pass from the scene until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered the boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen till the flood came and swept them all away. This is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. And one will be taken and the other left. So you too must keep watch. For you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. He will come like a thief in the night. A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth. The master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant is evil and thinks my master won't be back for a while? And he begins beating the other servants, partying, and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected. And he will cut the servant to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place where will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus says that we, his servants, the teachers, the preachers, give them the truth. We must feed the other servants. All of us are servants. The ones that are sitting in the congregation, they are servants too. They don't have to be in the pulpit to carry the word. They just have to have the word in their heart. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. I hear a lot of folk, congregational members tell me, say, well, Pastor, I'm not a preacher. I'm not called to preach. You may not call to preach, but you're called to carry the word. You have a testimony. Share your testimony. Let somebody know what Christ has done for you. That may be enough to draw them to the cross to be washed in his blood. Tell them where you've been through, all you've been through. Young lady was sitting in the car, driving in the car, and lost control of the car. And her car went over one of those barriers on the highway, where they have the metal barrier along the highway. And her car, for some reason, picked up the end of the barrier, you know, the steel barrier. And it came right through the hood. Went through the hood of the car and come through the windshield, come right through the car and missed her head. She came out the car was upside down on the metal barrier. Car was total. And she got out the car with a minor scratch. God protect those who loves him. Willing to die for him. Willing to hold on to the truth. He said those that endure to the end will be saved. Are you living this thing to the end? Or just a figment of your imagination? Well, I feel good when I read the Bible. You know, I love to sing the gospel. I love to hear the gospel music. You know, you hear people say that stuff. But they don't have the tenacity about them to say, well, you know what? The word of God is all I need. It just fills me from my stomach in. Fill me inside out. I cannot live without it. The word of God is what I need. Hallelujah. We need to be excited about the word of God as our spiritual food. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 8. Hallelujah. Let's pull a scripture here. He says, 8 and 13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said, Speak. How long shall the vision concern the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? People was abusing the sanctuary. The sanctuary to them was like any old place. So the preachers began to ask, how long? How long will this be allowed for people to misuse the sanctuary. I went to a place in I went to a church and the pastor had a lot of grandkids. And that Sunday, I think there was two or three of the grandkids at the church. And the preacher, I think it was an outside preacher, a visiting preacher. Man, the kids are running all across the altar, in front of the altar, everywhere. And what would happen, none of the grandmother, the grandfather, the preacher, none would say nothing to the kids. But the people, the congregational members, were distracted. They were distracted because these kids were running back and forth. We allow the altar to be mistreated, to be abused. That's in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation of to cease. And for the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In other words, there's evil worship going on. They're offering offerings of evil deeds. The place is going to become desolate, empty, barren. God is seeing this. You see some of these big mega churches? You're going to look and they haven't had 3 and 4 services. They're not even going to have one service. I know a church that had, with a mega church, the pastor had said some negative things over the pulpit. In the second Sunday after that, or the first Sunday after, a whole lot of people didn't show up. And every Sunday after that, the church became less and less and less and less, until they had to shut down the church. God is not going to allow the people to abuse his house. Even though men say, my house and my house and my this, God is not going to allow the people to abuse the house. We have to get that in us. Let me see where I got. Bless the name of Jesus. Let us go to Matthew 25, and let us start at verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven is illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportions to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant who, with 2 bags of silver, also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest. I have earned two more. The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I know you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvest crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now, throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I want you to see that. It's important for us to use what the master has given us. Very important. Don't play around with it. God called you to share the gospel. Share it. Share the gospel. Some people can only, I hear pastor say something, I say that, bless me. Some people can only preach when they're in a big temple, a big sanctuary filled with people. They look out, they say 3,000 people. I was watching Dr. Ron Connolly. He was in Africa. And he had been there several times. But this preacher that he was preaching for, he was going to minister for, because, you know, he's a minstrel. There must be half 40,000 people or more, maybe more than that, because it was in a stadium. The preacher, they had ministered before in the government stadium, and the stadium don't have no covering. So it rained, and they all got wet. But the governor or president of the city said that he wasn't going to rent the stadium out to them, to any Christians anymore. So the pastor said, well, that's all right. We will build our own stadium. So they built this real heavily stadium, I would say. I mean, it was just so, it's a majestic place, the way it looks. Place built for God's presence. And I was watching him last night ministering in song, all the songs that we know that Ron Connolly sang. He's 80 years old. And I tell you, he don't look 60. And he was singing to the glory of God. But he's a man that ministered to a little bit of people and to thousands of people. But I said this to say that he was right in his place that he needed to be, ministering God's word. He was sharing a little bit in between sounds. But some people can only be comfortable when they get into a place where there's 100,000 people that they're ministering to. And they feel, well, I minister. But if there's only 20 people, they don't want to minister. If there's only 10 people, if there's only 3 people, it's in the church. There was 3 people in myself and the Holy Ghost. 3 people was there. Pastor didn't have a lot of big congregation. But I was invited to come and preach. And I preached. It was 3 people. I tell you, 3 people. And I preached in that church like there was 2,500 people, 3,600. I practiced preaching there and prophesied like there was over 3,000 people there. Doesn't matter. If it's myself, I will still preach. I preach to the angels that's in the house. It's important for you to know that it's not about the people. It's about the assignment. God gave the gift to preach, preach. God gave me to prophesy, prophesy. He gave the gift to sing, sing to God. You know, he blessed me last night. He says, you know, the word that we bring in the house is for the people. He said, but the worship, the praise is for God. Yes, we dance and we do all that stuff when the worship is going through, you know, because it makes us feel good. But it's really for God. It's really for God. That's why we should put our whole heart into worship, praise and worship. Give it all. It's unto you, Lord. Even though when Aaron and his sons come and Moses had to make the clothes for them, the garments, God told them, you know, let Aaron and his son come and minister to him first. How did they minister to him? They went in before God and ministered to God. Worship God, but before God. And we take it lightly, you know. And we rush God. We rush God, you know. God, you said we got, I watched the pastor preaching and all he's doing is watching the clock on the wall. Because he don't want to discuss the people. People, you know, they say, well, the preacher preached too long. I'm not going back to that church. He don't want to discuss the people. So he's looking at the clock. He said, well, and then he's like foolishness. He said, well, can I get 3 more minutes? Can I get 5 more minutes? Man, no, just preach. If you got to go, go. If you got to go, just go. Let's go to another scripture quick, fast, and hurry. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I hope you got the scriptures. I'm just getting this as I'm going. I don't have them, no scriptures on the paper, so I'm just going. Matthew chapter 13, and let's start at verse 18. That's where I want to go. Let me see. He says, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer's planting seed. The seed that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their heart, talking with the devil. Verse 20 says, the seed on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. You hear that? We were talking about a person that was filled, excited for God, very excited. But the enemy comes from right in their home. And now I've stolen the word of God out of their heart, that they can't even enjoy any other word that flow out of their mouth with the cuss word. You understand what I'm saying? This is what happened. They have no roots. Hallelujah. When a problem comes, they forget. When persecution comes, they forget who they are. He says, the seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good ground or good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. How is your seed being planted? And what soil is it planted in? Something to think about. How quickly do we play off at the mouth with anger when somebody opposes us? Maybe the soil is not good. The roots are not going down deep enough into your heart. Something to think about. I just pulled that scripture up because I want to put it in here, because it gives you the whole layout of the different seeds and different grounds in them. But I want the explanation of the seed. It's very important. Pastor talked about the mustard seed yesterday, but we're not going there today. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for loving us when we didn't love ourselves, for keeping us when we couldn't keep ourselves, for healing us when no one else could. Lord, we thank you so much. We ask you, Lord God, as your word has gone forth with power and authority, that you bless the airwaves. Lord, bless those that were able or fortunate to come on this morning to hear this word, either a part or all of this word. We ask, oh God, that you bless our hearts to receive, oh God, and not only receive, but germinate. Lord, let this word germinate in our hearts. Let it be expanded like you enlarge your vast territory. Enlarge this word in us, O God, that our spiritual man may grow that as the deception is in the atmosphere, it will not have dominion over us, O God. That will not be our portion, O God. We shall succeed in what you have called us to succeed in. We ask you, God, to bless those that are hearing even right now, and those that will hear later, bless them. Lord, let this word be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. Lord, God, we ask that you allow this word to enter in, O God, and do what it's supposed to do. Father, we are so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but if the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Whoever believe on Jesus will not be ashamed. That's the hymn. That's the hymn he's talking about, not a sound. You believe on Jesus, you will not be ashamed. I talk about truly believe on him. You know, because a lot of people say they believe on him, but as the writer says, when the storms come, they forget the Jesus that they say they believe in. They don't put him first ahead of the storm. The storm comes and the storm takes over. Jesus said there's going to be pestilence, famines and pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places, different places. We got to be prepared for those things. They're going to come. They're going to happen. I was talking to Apostle Washington the other day, and she was telling me about the tornadoes that was coming through Louisiana. And she was saying that she and Bishop James had prayed, and then after she had prayed, she had gotten such a release in her spirit that made her so comfortable that she was able to go upstairs and go into her bedroom and lay across the bed and went to sleep. Now, people, several houses had lost their roofs in her neighborhood. In some places were even flooded out. But she trusted and she believed in her God, our God, that he would protect her and her husband and the property that the Lord has loaned to her. This is where we have to come in as believers. We are not shaken by the persecution. We are not moved by the turbulence that the plane is in right now. We know that because we are in the plane, God is going to protect us. So whatever's going on, we in nations and earthquakes are shaking the ground. The buildings are shaking, but we are secure because God is our protector. The Bible says, just call upon his name and he will answer. He will show you great and mighty things that you have no knowledge of. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, call upon him this morning. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him, not be ashamed. Not be ashamed. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Romans he says, you will not be ashamed. Hallelujah. It's so, this is Romans chapter 10 and 11. It says, you will not be ashamed if you believe in him. But then in John chapter 3 and 16, he said, you'll have everlasting life. In John 3 and 7, he said that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Did Jesus come in here not to condemn you, but he came in here to die on the cross so that we would have access to the tree of life. Hallelujah. And he said, but this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Jesus is the light that came into the world. They didn't want him. Matter of fact, they belittled him. They called him all types of names that's not in the book. They spit upon him. They slapped him. They do all types. They nailed him. They crowned him. They pierced him. All type of stuff for the sin that you and I has committed. The Bible says, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 and 38. It's important that you know this. You have to repent. You cannot go in the same way you are. You have to turn away from sin. That's what repentance is. Stop doing the things that you've been doing that didn't please God. And not just for one time. Some people say, well, I'm not going to do it anymore. That's what they say. Pastor, I'm not doing it anymore. They stop for today. Tomorrow, they go back into the same thing. You got to make a decision that I'm going to live for God. It's not easy. I'm not going to tell you that, oh, yes, it's all easy. But it's attainable with the help of the Holy Ghost. That's why he gave you the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because he knows that we cannot overcome the tricks, the deception of of the enemy. The enemy is very good, and he's a long talker. Long, smooth talker. How long did he talk to Eve in the garden? Describing the tree in all different kind of ways, and the wisdom it would give you, and how your eyes would open, and all this stuff. He's talking about the tree. Because that's who he is. He's a smooth talker. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us to help us to overcome every deception, every trick, every word that the enemy brings to us. He takes God's word and turns it around. He tried to do it with Jesus, but he couldn't win. You know, Jesus knew exactly what to say, you know. And this is why we learn, we study the word of God so we will know what to say. The Holy Spirit will regurgitate it in us so that we can say what we need to say to overcome. He says, neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only name, the only one that can save. The pastor can preach for you. The pastor can sing to you. And the pastor can pray with you, but the pastor can't save you. When the pastor pray with you with salvation, the pastor is leading you to the one who saved. Jesus comes in. In the midst of the prayer, he comes in to save your soul. He comes in to snatch you away from the devil, the one that had you hold, had you in shackles, had you in spiritual handcuffs. Jesus breaks those shackles and destroys those handcuffs. So now you can walk freely. Now, if you hear what you heard and you believe in what you hear and you want to be saved, this is what I want you to do. Out there in computer land, just denounce Satan. Say, Lord Jesus, I heard the word, I believe the word, and I want to become part of the word, and I want the word to become part of me. Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan right now and all of his agents and the world system, all that it stands for. I no longer want to have a desire for the things of the world, but I want the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn so deep inside of me that all my desire to have more of you and less of this world. Jesus, I'm opening my heart right now, inviting you to come and sit on the throne of my heart. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Well, my brother, my sister, if you said that uncommon prayer and you believe what you said with your mouth, you believe it in your heart, you have just received the gift of salvation, word of the Lord. Now get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Or you can start at Genesis, wherever the Holy Spirit leads you. But that's where he told me back in 2010. Tell the people that. Now study the word of God. That doesn't mean that you got to go over and over and over till the word of God begin to take root in your heart. Because, you know, a lot of times people start reading the word. I know my pastor had told me when I said, well, I'm going home and getting the word. And he dropped it in my spirit in such a different way that it blessed me. He says, son, don't go home and get into the word. Go home and get the word in you. And it was different, you know. In Proverbs 18 and 21 said, death and life is in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So what are you speaking? You see? And I learned now to speak. I learned ever since then how to speak the word over my life to prosper in the things of God. So I said, oh, yeah, I'm going home and get the word in. I'm going home and get the word in. I'm going home and get some word in my heart. So while you're studying, you're going over and over, and the word is lodging because, you know, you're not just reading. You know, people read a novel, and then they say, well, they're trying to get to the end. They're trying to get to the end of the novel so that they can get the outcome of the novel. But then they forget. They forget what they read in the middle of the book or the beginning of the book, you know, because they're reading. But when you're studying, you're going over and over. So after you have received when you're studying, call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, and tell them that you have received the gift of salvation, but you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. But you have to be specific because a lot of people sometimes, you know, you want to make sure that you're going down in the water, that you're going to be submerged in the water, okay? And you want to make sure that you're being submerged in the name of Jesus. Because some people, I remember back in the Caribbean, I was not baptized. But they said I was baptized. I didn't know the difference. I was a young boy. They had a ladle, a basin on a pedestal, and they just dipped, scooped that ladle, and they poured it on my head. They called it sprinkling. But they said I was baptized. But I got baptized here. I went down the water. In Jesus' name. And when I came up, I was running. Oh, I was running. Because I felt something happen to my spirit, to my soul. I tell you, I never was the same since then. So before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. You want a lot of witnesses. Even some of those people that come here and say, well, look, they've been so moved by the little mini sermon that the pastor minister over you before you went down the baptism pool or the river or the ocean, that they want to give their life to Christ and get baptized. So you invite a lot of people. And when you're going down what we call the liquid pool or the liquid water, wherever you're at, the liquid river, the ocean, well, Jesus is going down there with you because he said, he promised, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But when you come up, he's coming right back up out the water with you. But now he is with you in spirit and in truth, leading you down the street, a narrow path. Search for a pastor, a preacher, a church building, body of Christ where the word of God is truly preached. You know, some people say, we talk about preachers. Well, the Bible says that there are going to be some wolves in sheep clothing that are going to come, try to steal the sheep, deceive the sheep. This is those, and they call themselves preachers. They are wolves in sheep clothing. And we that know the truth have to expose them. How are you going to let them just destroy God's sheep? Because then soon as the sheep get all messed up in the mind, now they have to go through a whole different teaching to try to deprogram them, because they've been hearing this stuff for 15 years from this one preacher that didn't make no sense. It didn't line up. And now they've got to reprogram. You know, like I'm saying now I saw on Facebook last night, but thank God for all these folk that receive the gift of salvation, those that receive a later date. You find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel. Get yourself involved in ministry. We thank God for you all, and we bless God for you. We pray that you continue. If you can't find a church, come on back to Blog Talk Radio. We come on Monday to Friday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 4:30, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we come on Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until 4 p.m. Eastern. But when of the Holy Spirit, let us shut down. We just thank God for you. You can always come on here. We're teaching the truth regardless if you like it or don't like it. We're going to teach what God says and how he says to teach it. Because we know there are many people all over the world that is enjoying it. Thousands upon thousands of people that's enjoying what we say here. That's when you come on in and you put in your two pennies, just like I put my two pennies in. Somebody here, you might say something that helps somebody to come out of darkness. A lot of people say, well, I just heard a word, I just get up and go. Or I heard a song, that's enough. No, something in you, all of us have up for the body. We are many members, but one body. Every part of the body has a part to play. You may sing a song, you may dance. Hallelujah. You may have a word. You may have a poem. All is helpful. God bless you all. God bless you. The line is now open for anyone that want to share some. The line is open. Well, we're going to pray and close out. A lot of people on the line. Nobody's saying anything. So we're going to pray and close out. Father, we thank you. Praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for those that came on and heard the word. Lord, we thank you for those that will download the word at another time. And even those that are going on there and downloading and sharing it to other people, we thank God for them. For the word is going all over the world, going into nations that we may never be able to put our feet down into, but the word is going there. The word is alive and is sharper than a two-edged sword. The word is spirit. And we thank God that it's touching the hearts and minds of people. We ask, Father God, that you bless us in the city.
Bless us in the field. Bless us when we come, oh God, and bless us when we go. We pray today, God, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath. Father, we pray, oh God, that you will make us the lenders and not the borrowers, oh God. Praying, Father God, for those that are sick in their body. And even as Evangelist Brown have her surgery today for her knees, Lord, we pray that all goes well, oh God, and that she have speedy recovery, oh God. And as her husband stayed there with her, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, oh God. Pray for Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart, Lord, for the work that you are doing in their ministry, that you have made them watchmen over, Lord God. We thank you for the elder, God, that comes on and sings from time to time. Lord, we didn't know he had cataract surgery, but we thank God that all has went well with him. And we pray, God, that he continue to grow and advance in the kingdom, oh God, as he glorify your name, he honor you and praise you, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for Brother Deacon Fraser. Thank you for his mom. Thank you for Brother Mark, oh God. We just pray, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the young man that comes on from the time he was on with us yesterday from Florida. And we pray, God, that you bless him, oh God. God, he's dealing with some vices that he need deliverance from, Lord, and only you can deliver. Lord, and he's crying out to you, Lord God, to touch him and take away the vices from him that he could serve you with all purity of heart. Lord, we pray today in the name of Jesus for Apostle Linda Washington and Bishop James Washington, Lord, that you continue to heal them, that you continue to strengthen them, that you continue to empower them, O God, to declare and decree your truth, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we leave this land, but never your presence, we ask, O God, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Bless, O God, the President of the United States. Bless the Vice President. Bless, O God, the House of Representatives. Lord, bless the Supreme Court Justice Department. God, we pray, God, that you, O God, heal our land. Lord, we pray that you heal our land. Lord, there's too much evil in this land. The hearts and minds of men and women have waxed old. Oh, God, we ask today that you heal today, that you begin to stir up, oh, God, the gift of love and compassion, mercy and grace, oh, God. We pray, oh, God, that you begin to touch the sons, our sons and daughters and grandsons and great-grandsons and daughters, Lord. We pray today, God, that you touch my granddaughter, Lord, as she go through her anxiety with this lump that's in her breast, Lord. But we pray right now in the name of Jesus that the next time she go back for the biopsy, Lord God, that they don't find any lump, oh God, that it's dissolved and gone, disappear, Lord. Lord, she's a young woman, just 23 years old. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you give her a long life. Oh God. Lord, continue to draw her to you, Lord. Oh, Father, we just thank you. We praise you, oh God. We honor you right now. Thank you for Nancy. Thank you for Samara. Thank you for Benjamin. Thank you for Rebecca. Thank you for Tremaine and Rico. All of my great-grandchildren, oh God. Thank you for Jessica, Benjamin. Thank you, oh God, for Lord God, Alicia. And Lord, we thank you, oh God, for Simone. Lord, you are such an awesome, mighty God. Lord, we pray for Israel. We pray for Jerusalem. We pray for Hamas. We pray for, oh God, we pray for Syria, Palestine. We pray for Turkey, Iraq and Iran. We pray for Germany, France, Italy. Lord, we pray for Brazil, all over the Caribbean, westward and
Leeward Islands to Canada. Lord, we pray for all over Africa, North Africa, East Africa, West Africa, South Africa. Lord, we pray for all the presidents and prime ministers of the world. Pray for England. Oh, they're having so much trouble because they have let in so many of the other people, other religions in there. And now the same people want to destroy the country. Lord, we pray. We pray, oh God, that you allow them to rise up and remove those people that is trying to destroy the countries. Father, we ask that you allow the president to fix all borders. Lord, that we will have control over who come into this country. Lord, they said that they arrest 76 terrorists that was on the watch list that came over the border. But there are many others that are already inside this country, laying in sleep waiting, sleeper cells that are waiting to do us harm. But Father, we pray for your protection. We pray that you'll be a shield and a buckler to this nation, that you'll be a strong tower that we can come in and find rest for our souls. Now, Father, as we leave this line, but never your presence, we ask, oh God, that we would have the tenacity, that we be tenacious enough to tell someone about the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, it's that person that's close to us and that person that don't know us, neither do they know you. But give us the courage to tell them about your love, your compassion, and your mercy, that we be able to tell them that you gave your life on the cross that they might have life in this world and the world to come. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak into somebody's ear gate today that will make all the difference in their lives. Might stop someone from committing suicide, stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That tells me that all of us still have some bad works in us. But Jesus doesn't want the bad works to surface. He wants the good works to take dominance over everything that we say and do, that people will be drawn to him by this birth. I love you guys so much, and I thank you for your presence. Even though you didn't respond today, we thank God for you, because your presence is joy to my soul. When I see you come on, where the Marquis gets on, first he outbeat Deacon Frazier. But we thank God for him, thank God for his wife and children and everything that's everyone that's connected to him. We ask God to bless him. Even when I'm here by myself, I find myself lifting him up, lifting all you all up. But I lift him up because I know that he is going through, you know, loss of family members and so on, and being attacked in the spirit. And we pray for God deliverance for him, for all of us, that God continue to keep us free and strong in the spirit of the Almighty God. So God bless you. Have a blessed evening, safe evening. Some states are getting heavy rain, thunder and lightning if it's your state. I pray that you be safe, and if you got to go, take an umbrella, but pay attention. If you don't have to go, don't go out. Stay in the house. I don't have to go, so I'm going to stay in the house. God bless you all. We love you. God bless. Bye-bye.